Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. And tonight I think I'm going to expand on that. Let's read through to verse 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, before I start, I'm going to read Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Amplified, I like, it says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. So it's this hearing and unfolding of God's word that gives us light. And that unfolding, that revelation of God's word, the understanding of God's word, comes from and by the Holy Ghost. Through can be inspired teaching, and it can also be through your own private time of hearing and listening, and he will unfold and reveal, and sometimes you're not even thinking about it. You're just quiet, and he'll drop something in, and you'll see something that you've never seen before, or he'll remind you, or he'll reveal something to you in times of quiet where you're just quiet. He knows what you're thinking, what you're pondering on, and he'll reveal in those times. So it can come from all of those various ways, but it certainly is the entrance and deposit of his word in your spirit that he works from that place. Now, if you'll notice, I read this from the King James. But you'll notice in verse 20, it says, but everyone that doeth evil, that's some doeth means practiceth, somebody that practices evil, it says, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, or the my margin says, discovered. And verse 21, it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I like the Amplified. It says, but he who practices truth. I think that makes it a little plainer. Someone who practices something, practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light. See, somebody who practices truth comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought in God. And I like this, you know, the Amplified always enhances, they put things in brackets. This says, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence on him. I like that. See? So when we practice the truth, and then it expands and says they are wrought in God, but it's divinely prompted. It's with his assistance and with his help. See, it's unctioned by God. So we hear something, we see something, Well, that seeing, see, when we talk about, when it says over in Romans 1, it says, "And I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And it continues, but then it says, in verse 17, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." So it's not all at once. It's from faith to faith. So it's progressive. And so as we walk in the light, as we practice something, when we see something, when something is unfolded and revealed, and you sit there. Now, see, this is why we can't judge. This is why we can't say, "Well, I don't know why they're not doing it. I don't know why they're not walking in love towards me. I don't know why my husband is acting like a jerk. Or my wife doesn't do this and that." You don't know what God sees. You don't know that person inside. See, but what you are responsible for is walking in love, and what you are responsible for is walking in the truth of God's word. You're responsible to practice what you see, not your neighbor or someone else. We're not to judge. And we are to walk in the light that we are seeing, what's been revealed to us. So if you have a revelation, and again, that's progressive, right? That's progressive. Now, how many know you can't walk in love without the assistance of God? And that's just exactly what the Amplified is saying, that as we walk in the light, as we walk into the light, what? If we're walking in the light, then we're walking in the Word. We're walking in truth. He said, Jesus said, "I am the way and the life," and He is the light. So when we walk in the Word, we're walking in the light. We walk in love, we're walking in the light. So that's why when it says here, divinely prompted, done with God's help. Well, you can't walk in the Word unless it's without God's, unless it's with God's help. You can't do it. You can't walk in love towards somebody without God's help. Can't do it. Because you're going to try and you're going to go, "I can't do this." But now, faith works by love. So as we take a step of faith in love to do something, you're going to be able to walk to the degree and the light that you have. You see? You may be more developed in love than me. You may be developed more in an area of faith than me. And God's going to require more, and He may give you more to walk in that your neighbor isn't. He may require something of you that He may not require of me. He may not, and He may. We don't know. And so that's why we can't judge and say, this or that about someone, because we don't know what assignment they've been given. But for sure, we are responsible to practice the truth. And let's go over to 1 John. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 1. And let's start looking at verse 5. I want to just look at this. We looked at this on Sunday. Let's look again. 1 John 1 and starting at verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." See? So if we say, and that's why it continues, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, well, then we're walking in the light. See? But then it continues, it says, and fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. See, if you walk in darkness, then we lie. And what is it? What's the next thing say? And do not. That means practicing, right? Do not the truth. See? But if we walk in the light, that means doing and practicing, we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See? So, He holds us accountable for the light that we have. That's it. And think about this also. The scripture says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, if He had to wait until we were perfect to have fellowship with us, it wouldn't be during His lifetime. Just think about that. So He can only hold us accountable for what we have, the light we have, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us continually for all that stuff that we're doing that we don't realize we're doing. Isn't that something? Isn't that the mercy of God? Isn't that true? Because we're not perfect. So that's why, because we're not perfect, and we're walking in all the light and all the help that we can get from God and His Son, we ought not judge one another. We're not perfect. And we need to walk in the light that we have. And so, again, as I said, we're responsible to practice the truth that we see. That's it. And we thank God that He cleanses us of all the other stuff that we don't even realize we're doing, that we don't have light in yet. Yeah, so I heard somebody go, whew. Yeah, me too. Because we'd be on our way somewhere else if it wasn't for His mercy. Now let's turn over to James. I believe it's chapter 1. And let's start reading at verse 16. James chapter 1, starting verse 16. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then it continues in verse 22, which we're familiar. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when you are not a doer of God's word, then you get over into deception, and it's not the devil, it's you've deceived yourself. And continuing, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now you see, this is interesting here. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So here's the question. He sees. He sees. At that point, verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So he sees. Now, and he goeth his way, he ain't doing. He's not doing. Right? He saw something, and then he's not doing. And then it says, goeth his way, and straightway does what? Forgets. He forgetteth. What manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth as a doer, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, we shout, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Yes, you are blessed. But you are also blessed because you're a doer of God's word. And when you look up that word blessed, you can take the time to look it up, but it means to be empowered to prosper. That means you are empowered by God to prosper in that area that you're walking in. That means just exactly what we were sharing from the Amplified. When you are a doer, which was said, someone who practices, which means divinely prompted and done with God's help, this is saying the same thing. You are empowered to prosper. You are empowered to walk in love, if that's what this was here. It could be anything. When you see something, when you hear something in the Word, and you are not a doer, if you don't put it into practice, then this says here, you go your way and straightway forgetteth. See? You forget. And what can happen is, if we don't put something into practice, we can walk into darkness because of that. Now, you know, sometimes we say darkness, you know, we conjure up what that is. No, darkness just means you're not in the light. That's all that means. You don't see how to do something. But as we walk in the light, see, think about this. When the scripture talks about the path of the just is as the shining light, I believe it says, and it talks about us walking down this path. If you stay stationary on a path, you're only going to operate in the light. If you stay stationary, you're only going to operate in the light that you have right there. You don't need any more light to walk in the path further down. How are you going to get there? You got to walk. You got to operate, and you got to walk down that path to get further light. You don't need that light back down this, down further down where you are here. You don't need it. But you're going to have to walk in it to get it. To receive more light, you need to go further down the path. That's doing. That's doing. That's practicing. So you need to obey the instructions you are being given from the Lord to walk and practice. See, that's with His assistance. See, so if He prompts us, or you get a little scratching, something doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right, what I'm doing. Stop. And look and listen, right? What they say? Stop and listen. What is He prompting you to do at that point? Put something into practice. Because if you don't, you'll walk away and you'll forget what it is, and He's not going to give you any more light in that particular area until we start practicing what we have at that point. You can't, you know, we've said this. You know, I forget who said it or how it came out, but I know here it said we want to go deeper to go higher. Well, you're going to have to obey to go deeper. That's the reality of that. You know, and it is going to pinch sometimes. It is going to be uncomfortable, but you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it with His assistance and His grace. He's empowering you to do it. And He's going to want us to sometimes step off into things where there's no visible means of help other than His help. He may ask you to do something and you go, oh Lord, I'm stepping out into something where there's nothing under my foot. So, you know, I'm not talking about being presumptuous and doing something silly, but I am saying, if you get a direction to go in, and it seems just, and you know it's God, you've got to obey. You got to obey. I mean, we've all been there. I know when I left a corporate job, you know, I knew that I knew. Well, first of all, someone spoke something to me prophetically. in 1981, somebody walked up to me when I was at Pastor John's church, and this young lady operated in the gifts of the Spirit. She wasn't flaky and she wasn't nutty, but she walked up to me and she said, "You'll be in full-time ministry in 4 years." That's what she said. And so that's when I started saying, okay, I need to go to Bible school and all of that. And that was just me. But in 4 years to the month, she walked up to me in November of 1981. I remember it, in Pastor John's church. In November of 1985, it was three years, she said. She said, "You'll be in full-time ministry in 3 years." That's what it was. Excuse me. And that was in November of 1981. In November of 1984, I started fellowshipping with RLCC in April of 1982. Because the pastors, I met them at Pastor John's church before they went to Bible school. So in November of 1984, Pastor Clinton walked up to me. I was overseeing the sound department at that time. Way back in 1984, I was running the sound department. And he said, this is how he said, "Sarah and I see you working in the ministry." I already knew it. And I went, no, wrong. Because I didn't want to hear it. So I spent from November and December wrestling with that. And I finally said, okay, because you'd already spoken to me. And I just said, nope, doesn't matter what it is, I'm going. Now, I had a good paying salary. And so when I approached them, they didn't talk about salary. And I didn't ask. I didn't. Because first of all, the Lord told me to come. And it really didn't matter at that point. I was jumping off. And at that point, he had already spoken to me about it. And I just said, you know what? It really doesn't matter because God is just going to supply my needs. And it didn't. So I never really brought the subject up. But boy, when I got my first paycheck, I took a deep breath. I went, okay. That's what I did. I took a deep breath and lived on my savings account for a year. I did. I had saved quite a bit of money. And I had lived on that because I was, driving back. I had a home to pay for, and I had all of those, normal things that we pay for. And I was driving my car back and forth between Rockland County and Hackensack 6 days a week, and just all of that and so forth. There ain't no way I was living on that check. No way, no how. So I lived on my savings account. And so when that went dry, I think sometimes God just says, okay, go on, go. And then, you're saying, okay, I got this. I'm going to live on my savings account. And he just sits back and waits and says, yeah, okay. He'll be coming around the corner soon. When it runs out, he'll be coming to me, which I did. I ran out. After about a year, I had nothing left. And so there was no way I was going to make it on that. And so I'm finally knocking on Daddy's door. Father, I need some help here. And he told me what to do. He just said, I want you to call in an additional $100 a week. And I did. Now, you see, God is sometimes we say, I'm going to call in $1,000 a week. Well, you could. But then you may come up short because if God didn't tell you to do that, you see, and at that time, he told me $100. Now, you might think, well, that doesn't sound like much. Well, it was enough to get me over. And at that time, that $100 was what the ministry could pay me. And I was not working a second job. And so unless God was going to supernaturally open some doors or I was doing some consulting work, that was it. That was my source at that point, the ministry was. I mean, God is my source, but he was working through the ministry. And so that $100 came in less than a month. $100 a week. It was actually $75. But you get my point. God was directing my footsteps. But we have to do, otherwise we're going to walk in no additional light. None. And so, let's turn over to, I wanted to just look at those scriptures that we did on Sunday. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to get to my point this evening, but I just wanted to just touch on these scriptures here. Luke chapter 6. And verse 27, and I'll start reading there. It says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." But, now let's look in verse 36 here. "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal." What measure? The same measure of judgment, the same measure of mercy, the same measure of condemnation and forgiveness. That is what is going to be measured to you again. What you measure out is what's going to be measured back to you again. And it says, in continuing in verse 39, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. For everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest?" See? That means perceivest not. That means you see not the beam that is in thine own eye. "Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can see here that sometimes we're looking at the specks in our brothers and sisters, and we can't see, we perceive us not the beam that is in our own eye. And so sometimes we need to first, as it says, take the beam out of our own eye so that we can see clearly what to do with our brother. See, we're especially anointed to perceive what's wrong with our brothers and sisters. You know, it says here, what's the term it says here? It's the branch or the speck or the beam. Oh, not the beam, it says the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Or you could say it's a speck or a branch or however you want to say it. So you're a branch detector or a speck detector. You know, you're out inspecting what's wrong with your brother and sister and not looking at yourself. You know, we do that sometimes. I mean, that's just the way it is until God reveals something or prompts something, and that's what the witness of the Holy Ghost is. See, we're all not perfect, and we're growing from faith to faith. And that's why when we see and we run into brothers and sisters that may be a little rough on the edges, we are to treat them with love and operate in love. And I'm going to show you something. Well, you'll know this. I'll tell you for me, and every one of you, I'm sure, have stories that you could tell about the impact of someone in your life. Could be on your job, could have been someone close to you, could have been a brother or sister, could have been a pastor or whoever it is. You learned more from not what they said, but how they operated in tough situations. You began to observe them doing what? Not talking about doing the word, but doing it. And you learned more by observing how they walked through something than you could have learned by reading and going to a whole lot of meetings. And I'm not saying that reading books and reading your Bible and going to meetings are not important. They're absolutely important. But you're going to learn more sometimes, or let me put it another way, not more. You're going to learn, you're going to get additional light by observing how someone walks through and practices the truth. I'll tell you, I was around Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton more than you've been around them. And not all the time, obviously, but in settings where you saw them operate the Word of God. And you learned something. There's some things that have been indelibly imprinted upon me because I was around them and saw them do some things where that could have gone another way. It could have happened a different way, but because they chose to do it God's way, because they chose to do it in a godly way, that it went another way. It went God's way. And so when you see that, you are without excuse. See, now it's not just talk. You're seeing it put into practice. And you have absolutely no excuse. And that's why when we look at, why don't you turn over to Philippians chapter 4 just for a second. And this, to me, explains why in some ways, and I'll explain in a second. Let's get over to Philippians chapter 4. And starting in verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, look at verse 9. "Those things which you have both learned and received." See, so they learned by hearing in this setting, and received. They didn't reject it. So they learned it and received it. And then it says what? "And heard and seen in me do." See? "And the peace of God shall be with you." Now the NIV says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice." So they saw Paul put some things into practice here. They saw him put some things into practice that you are never going to get by just hearing. See? You're going to get some light by hearing, but you're going to get additional light by doing. And see, they got additional light by not just hearing and learning some things from him, but they got additional light by seeing him do the word. See? And so that's why, to me, it answers questions why it is absolutely so important for you as a parent to do the word in front of your children. Because if you're not doing it at home, you're a hypocrite to them. To them. Because they're going to see you shout glory, hallelujah. And then you go home and you're not putting it into practice. They're going to say, eh. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Said by a child. That's right. And that's why, to me, and again, that could be a parent, but it also could be you on your job. Not practicing what you speak and say. You know, it was interesting. I'd never paid much attention to it, but years ago, when I was working in a corporate job, when I left, you know, you never know you're being observed. They tell you afterwards, though. They'll tell you. But they didn't tell me, you know, they don't tell you. They're going to hang head. They're going to watch you for a while. And, you know, the everyday activities that go on. When I left, I had a couple of people tell me, they said, you know, one of the things that we observed about you was that you would get mad, but you never cursed. See, so for them, that was a big deal. They said, you never cursed. But you'd get upset and get mad, but you never cursed. So for them, because in that environment, anything went. It was the four-letter vocabulary village, you know, everything was this and that, and it didn't matter in what setting. It could be in, you know, when I worked in the setting that I was, you know, I met with, you know, vice presidents, I met with those levels of individuals, and then I met with directors, and then we met with other people. It didn't matter. They all use the same language. But that was one observation. And so my point was, it doesn't even have to be at home. It can be on your job. It can be where you are, just where you are. And so it's important that we match what we say and do. And we will walk in a further dimension of light as we walk out and practice what we see, what we're learning. And that, to me, answers a question why folks hit a plateau and they don't go any further. Are you doing, number one, what you see? And are you doing what God has put in your heart to do? If He's prompting you to do something and you're resisting, then you're gonna stop. You're gonna hit a place and you're gonna dry up. You're gonna just hit a place and you're not gonna grow. You won't grow. You won't grow any further. You won't walk any further in your development in Christ because you're not doing. You're not doing what God has revealed to you. See, if you see something, and that's why, go back to John, go back and look at verse, again, I'm going to highlight it. It says, but he who practices the truth. See, in verse 21, John 3:21, it says, but he who practices the truth comes out into the light. See, so as we practice the truth, we walk into the light. See, so you're going to get a certain amount of light from hearing and reading God's word and books and so forth, being in meetings just like this. You're going to get a certain amount of light. And then when you see something and you know to do it and you don't do it, you're not going to grow. You won't grow. Plain and simple. Same thing for me. If I get a prompt to do something and I don't do it, and this answers the question a lot of times why people may not grow even in the area of being used in the gifts of the Spirit, because they don't step out. See? And you're going to walk further in the light. Now, yes, I understand that it is God prompting, but if you just, I'm not doing that, you're not going to grow in that area. See? So as we develop, and this is something that I think we all need to take stock in, because God is expanding, and He's expanding this church, and He's going to bring people in here that we're going to have to walk in another level or dimension of love with people. And we're going to have to be more tolerant of people coming in. You're going to have to. I don't want to. Well, then you won't grow. You'll stay a baby. Is really what'll happen. You'll stay a baby. And that goes for me. If I don't learn how to walk in love, maybe uncomfortable, you will stay at a level of faith in your love walk and not grow, because you're going to then just operate in the light you have. But as you walk and do, you'll get more light and more opportunities to walk in that light that you have. See? And let's turn over just for a minute. Just have a minute here. You know, one of the things, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This, to me, answers a lot of questions, even in my own personal life. Going to a lot of meetings, which I was hungry for the Word of God. Going to meetings, parking myself, participating, even for years, I would go to two or three Kenneth Copeland meetings. I would go to a Kenneth Hagin meeting, one or two. And when I would go to the Kenneth Copeland meetings, I didn't eat much during the week. I would go and participate in their intercessory prayer room, come out, go to the meeting. So I was just involved and participating. But it also answers the question, you can go, and I think we should, go to meetings and dive in and get involved sometimes in meetings to get refreshed. But if you go to whether it's here or any kind of meeting, and you go and you go and you go and you get excited and you see something and you come back and you don't put it into practice, you're not growing. You will not grow. Because when you see something, what are we supposed to do? Put it into practice. Now, you may not see something, and this is what happens with all of us. We may go to these meetings, and God, you need to be directed to go. But as you're directed to go, He may have you go for a purpose, and you may not see something even out of those meetings. You understand what I'm saying? Because light is progressive. He may have you go to get refreshed. Word gets put into your spirit. And then He may reveal something months after. But when you see it, you need to walk in it. And so it's the same thing here. As we come to meeting after meeting after meeting here, and we get the Word of God, we get refreshed, we go out. Sometimes, to me, sometimes, and I know Pastor Greg is like this, you can think of this kind of the same way, an analogy. What does a coach do? A coach trains. He teaches. He teaches the players. But ultimately, after he's taught them, where are they going? They're going out on the field to do what? To play. To do what he's taught them to do. So in some ways, this is like coach time. You understand? We're assembled here. We're getting direction by the Holy Ghost. And then once we get it, we're running out. Let's go! Let's go do this. Let's go out into the life and put this into practice. So a lot of times, I just see it the same way, that we come to get instructed, to get light, so we can take it out and do it in life and be successful, to win, just like players want to win. They get new plays, they get new things, they practice, and then what do? They take it and they go out to do what? To win. Well, we're already winners in Christ. We're overcomers in Christ, but we need some coaching and direction on how to apply it in life. And it's the same thing. As we come to meetings and the Holy Ghost directs us, we can leave out of here into the field of life and go into and put it into practice. Amen? Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. Where were we? In 2 Timothy 3, and let's look at 5, chapter, verse 5. 3, verse 5, I think. Did I say 2 Timothy 3? 2 Timothy 3, but that is not what I want. That's not the scripture. Let me back up. Am I in the right book? Yeah, okay, I'm in the right spot. Okay. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Okay. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, look at this next verse. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They never get to the place of full light, but they're always learning. They're always learning, but they never seem to get to the place of full light, the knowledge of the truth. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They don't want to do it. They're not doing it. They're resisting the truth. And so they're trying to get there by ever learning. You see? So, if you, and there's a place for learning, just like it said, there's a place for learning and hearing. But then after you see, you have to do, and then once you do, you're going to get full light. You're going to get additional light and enhance that which you have heard and read. How many, I know for me, I read a lot of books. Well, actually for me it was reverse. I just got on the soundboard and started running it and then realized I needed help. So I read books. But I can tell you, you learn, it was the same thing. I read a lot of books on racing cars. But I'll tell you, it's a big revelation when you get in a car and start racing it and somebody's right on your tail. And, you know, it was a big revelation to me when I went to Canada and you're in a single-seat open-wheel car and you're doing 120, 130 miles an hour, which really isn't that fast. It's not fast. It's really slow because most times on a race course you're doing 150, 160 in these little cars and much higher with the other open-wheel cars. But open-wheel cars are different than NASCARs. NASCARs, they bump and push and, you know, they go nudge people, you know, and all of that. You try to nudge somebody with an open wheel, you're ending up in the woods. Period. Because wheels touch wheels and somebody's going up like this or off or something like that. So you have to be very precise and you need to watch what you're doing. But you can read all the books you want. And I did. I read a lot of books on race cars and suspension and all of those things to get an idea and went through race car driving school to learn how to handle the car. And you do. You learn it. You're coming in, you know, if you're coming down a straight, which we did, we'd come down a straight at over 100 miles an hour. You come into a turn, a hairpin like this, and you learn how to come in. You hit the apex of it and you literally put your foot on the gas. Right to the floor. You hit the apex, you might be doing 60. And you hit that apex, and you just hit the gas, mash it right to the floor. And you come screaming out of the car turn, and the car, literally, because you've hit the apex of a turn, you don't even have to steer it. It just walks out. And that's those things. You can't read that. I mean, you read it in the book, but boy, when you live it, it's a whole different thing, see? And it's the same thing. When we walk in God's Word, we can read it and read it and read it and read it, but there's a different thing. You know, you read about how to be led by the Spirit of God, but when you experience it, it's different. You know. That was God that bore witness in my spirit. See? So, it's the same thing. As we yield to the direction of God and we do it, we have full light. We walk in a measure of light that we cannot walk in by just reading. You can't. You can read all of Brother Hagin's books on being led by the Spirit of God, but there's a whole different perspective when you are being led by the Spirit of God for you by God. You're going to walk in a different dimension of light. And that's why some of us only reach a certain place of growth because we haven't gone any further with doing. You see, and that's all of us. We're all at different levels of faith and responsibility. And so as we yield and we walk further in the light, then we're going to have more light in a particular area. You see? And I was saying on Sunday, there were things, and I'm sure some of you may have even thought the same thing. Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton made choices as pastors. And there were times I said, why are they doing that? Am I right? You think those things sometimes. What the heck were they doing there? Well, it's a whole different story when now you're walking in it. It's a big revelation. And you're beginning like children saying, why did mommy and daddy do that? What are they, nuts? Why are they doing that? Well, now when you become a parent and you begin to see and have to make some choices, you go, oh, okay, now I understand. Okay. So you get some light as you walk into that responsibility, as you walk into that. So it's the same thing where the Word of God is, that if you're a doer of the Word, you're going to get more light. And you also are not a judge. It says a judge is not a doer. And a doer is not a judge. So as we do the Word of God, we're going to grow, and we are not going to have, I can tell you, as you walk in love, you're a doer. And you're not a judge. I'm going to close for now. Just some thoughts to think on and meditate on for your spiritual growth and for your spiritual examination. And I think it would do us all good to just sometimes, if there's things God has been prompting us, you know, yield to it. Yield to it. And just, you know, sometimes you may get a prompting to do something and you go, this doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't have to make sense. You just do it. And you'll see. Amen. Yeah? It makes change. That's right. Doesn't make sense. Makes change. And when you walk in it, you'll get the light as to, you'll say, oh, okay, now I see why. But he's not going to show you that. You're going to have to operate in faith.